Here we go. Now I sound better. Hey, you're tuned into the Home Improvement Show. Rich Orr is here for you today, as of pretty much every Saturday, two straight hours for you. We talk about all things home maintenance, repair, remodeling, major remodeling. We can talk about giant kitchen renovations. We can talk about whole home renovations. We can go over all sorts of different topics for the next 2 hours. We're opening the phone line so you can get real answers to your home improvement questions. Just give me a call, 314-436-7900. Again, that's 314-436-7900. What are you doing? Are you fixing a leaky faucet, fixing a leak in the wall, planning a renovation, or just wondering how to tackle that weekend DIY project? Well, we're right here. We can talk tools, tips, techniques, everything you need to make your home safer, comfortable, more beautiful, the best that it can be for you. So, hey, grab a cup of coffee, take a look around the house, walk around outside. Let's see what attention your home needs. It's the Home Improvement Show right here on KMOX, and we're just getting started. The phone lines are open now. One more time, write this down, 314-436-7900. So don't wait. Let's get to work. And speaking of getting to work, let's get to Jim and see what's going on with Jim. Hey, Jim, are you there? Can you hear me?
I am here.
Awesome. What's going on? How can we help?
So, question, what's the best type of caulk to use on the outside of the house, like against either siding or where siding meets up to brick?
Where siding meets brick, windows, all kinds of products like that, what you're looking for is a urethane-based caulk. The silicone caulk, if you're going up against a vinyl product, a vinyl siding, a vinyl window, silicone caulk doesn't quite stretch and stay as soft and kind of as movable as a urethane-based caulk does. So you want to find a urethane-based, and they make it in different colors. There's a brand called OSI, Quad. A brand called Quad, and you can get a few colors so you can get something close to the siding. And that's going to be your best product for caulking there against any type of vinyl siding and window. And they use it for the cement board siding, wood siding. It's still good for all of that.
Okay. And also, I listen to your show a lot. And I have a friend that's out of town that also listens to your show and enjoys it. Can I do a shout out to Ron? Is that okay?
His Absolutely. If Ron listens to me from out of town, you bet, buddy.
Yeah. Ron's a big listener to your show, and he enjoys it a lot. So anyway, that's all I wanted. I appreciate the information.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for the call, Jim. And hey, I'll give a shout out to Ron too. Thanks for listening, Ron, and thanks everybody for listening and the calls and the questions and keeping this a good kind of hometown fix up your home, get some answers for you. It's just a great thing. I love doing it, and I love that even out of town we've got such a reach and a stretch to get to Ron, and you can go through the Odyssey app, you can go online through the computer. All that, you can find us. It's just a wonderful thing. And hey, speaking of a wonderful thing, we got Bill on the line here. Let's see what's going on with Bill.
Can Hello, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Yes, okay, I've got a deck, 36 by 18. It's 40 years old. I just had the decking replaced. It was 2x6 cedar, and I went back with the pressure-treated lumber 2x6. So after it weathers for a while, what would be a better choice for sealer, an oil base or a paint type?
So definitely on a treated board, the first thing you really got to do is keep your eye on the moisture, letting that weather, but even checking the moisture to make sure it's down, the moisture content in the board, because your treated boards are going to have more just like chemicals in it. It's almost like salts. You'll get white kind of debris that kind of tries to come out of that board later. So a solid color stain is a good way to go to actually put a color on it that'll kind of hide that and cover that up on a board like that. But you really just got to make sure that it's weathered well. You're going to want to wait a couple of seasons. If you've just done it and you haven't stained it yet, you're probably doing this in the spring to early summer beyond a lot of rain, and checking moisture content to make sure you're down. I don't know what the exact number would be to recommend on a moisture content, but that'd be pretty easy to find online to figure out if it's like 7% or 11% or something around, how much moisture you want to make sure there's not more than that in there, because it will try and fight its way out with what you put on. So oil base would be good, and or any kind of a solid color stain would be good. That actually, if you wanted it to be like a gray or, you know, have some certain kind of color to it, you can get it to where it's not paint, but it's very similar.
Okay. All right.
All righty.
That sounds good. Thank you.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. Thanks for the call, Bill. Couple of good questions right off the bat. And remember, I'll be here. We'll have plenty going on for you. You can find me again, 314-436-7900. And I do want to, I'll do another shout out real quick too, because starting out, I kind of said, you know, I'm here every Saturday, pretty much 2 hours every Saturday. But hey, last Saturday, I took a little sabbatical, took some time off over the weekend, spent some time down actually in Jacksonville, Florida. Went to the Chiefs game Monday night. Hoorah, didn't work out in our favor for the Chiefs, but it was a great time. And I want to thank Jake Spurgeon for coming in, and of course, Greg Damon for helping out and hosting and talking with Jake and hopefully answering some questions and having a good time for everybody for a couple hours last Saturday. So I'm here most Saturdays, 2 hours for everybody. Don't forget, one last time, 314-436-7900 will find me right here. We're going to jump into our first break and have more home improvement for you to come right after that.
It's the Home Improvement Show, presented by Mosby Building Arts. Once again, Rich Orris.
From screaming at the game, I can't believe it actually has taken all the way to Saturday to kind of start to get somewhat back to normal. But I'll do the best I can for you here. And some calls, some questions, some talking with you and your home and what's going on could only be positive and help that out. So, again, you can find me right here. Lines are wide open, 314-436-7900, anything you need going on around your home. And I like to kind of go over several different topics, but everything I do during the week, throughout the week for Mosby Building Arts, going around, looking at houses, talking to clients, looking at projects, obviously sparks some really great topics and conversations. And a lot of them are kind of what's happening in our area too. And then the others are a lot just kind of what's common, what happens often, and what are people wanting and doing, and what's happening in the world of remodeling as we go through, getting to see this live and have the conversations, hopefully bring some good stuff to you. But what comes up quite often, and actually this on Monday, I'm sitting down with some folks and talking about changing some windows and changing a couple garage doors. And of course, the same conversation pretty much comes up very often with the two single car garage doors. So we're looking at replacing both garage doors. But the question of what does it take to turn that in to one double car garage door? It's a common project. It can improve the curb appeal, but for the most part, it just improves parking. It makes it easier to get in and out, and just really makes it a lot easier for everyone parking in the garage to get that done, and you can create a little more space. And with theirs, I mean, this is a structural job, so planning and permits are key to performing a task of that nature. But with theirs in particular, it was kind of, they've got a pretty good space between these two garage doors, which gives them a little more space inside the garage. But typically what you're trying to do is not really do a lot of work to the sides and kind of take out the middle and get a door that kind of works and fits there as one door. But with theirs, it was pretty wide, so I was like, you'd either have to bring the sides in to actually make a standard like 16-foot door work, or you're customizing a door to fit a width. And then when you have brick around, it makes it even a little harder to do because you're dealing with the brick of the home. But it'd definitely be a good idea to hire either a structural engineer, a design build firm like Mosby Building Arts, someone that can take this job from the early design, figure out the structure stages. This is a load-bearing structure, so engineering will determine how big the header needs to be. Is an engineered type of wood LVL header still going to work? Would you need steel to carry that load? What's above it means a lot in reinforcing that opening and making that work out. And then, of course, removing the center post and the center wall between the two garage doors doesn't seem to be too terrible right up until you got to remember now you're into the floor because your concrete floor is going to go around. So for the most part, not the prettiest thing in the world. You just kind of patch over that area where that wall came out and the foundation wall below it came out. But that saves not replacing an entire garage floor for a little spot that could be a foot or 16 inches wide of concrete to fill. But then you've got the new structural beam, all the load-bearing framing, everything to go in. You got to frame that whole opening. You got that floor you're patching. You go through. Now you install the double garage door. You'll need all your new trim around. Finish that exterior, whether there's some brick, whether it's siding, maybe some painting to go with the siding, depending on the type of that siding. So there can be a lot of steps and kind of ingredients to getting all of this done. You'll have possibly some drywall, if there's any inside the garage, to take place with patching that up, getting your new door, your opener, everything in. So this can come, there's a lot of steps, a lot of different types of work. So you're touching on the different stages of a project. So it is nice to have a company, full service design build type company like ours that can handle this start to finish all the way through and deal with what does it cost to take care of a project? What's that investment all the way through? You can have those conversations all the way from the front and really understand everything you need to do. It could take a couple, 2-3 weeks to perform something like this. Again, also because you're getting in different trades, and you need your inspections, so you're going to need framing inspection, finish inspection, make sure everything works. So sometimes it could take the inspectors a day or two to get out there, and you can't get on to the next step until you get to that point. So it can be a little bit time-consuming and a lot to go through. So trying to handle that kind of DIY-ish on your own, find all those different trades, get them in and out, schedule those people. Well, there's a job there that you're performing if you do it that way, that in turn, in the end, it could help with that investment because you're not paying a company and an individual to see through everything that's happening. So you've got some phone calls, some scheduling. And think of this. This is what it doesn't get considered very much is it seems like it wouldn't be too bad to kind of schedule and line everybody up. But then if one person can't make it and they go, oh, yeah, we got delayed. We've got a problem here. We'll see you next week. Now you've got to recontact, change the whole schedule, get back through everybody. And that's sort of what, because then if you've got an electrician coming, but the framer couldn't make it and they throw you off a week, and then the electrician says, well, I could have been there on Wednesday, but now if it's going to be next Wednesday, I've got stuff scheduled. It might be another week after that. That's where these things tend to, that's how that happens and what makes these projects all of the sudden drag out, because you've got someone ready to go and then you got to move them and you're like, okay, well, can I move you 5 days? And they're like, nope, I'm going to need you to move me 15. And then you can't get to the next step because you're, well, I can't get the brickwork done because the light isn't in and the box, and where's that going to be? And so it can just kind of throw off that entire schedule. And here you are while you're working a full-time job, probably maybe you're raising kids or taking care of parents. It could be all these things in your life you're trying to do. And now you're trying to work this all in and take phone calls and calls back and rework. And so there's a valuable service that gets provided when you have a company like where I work at Mosby Building Arts to handle all of this for you and go, yep, I've got it. And general contracting can do the same thing, but again, they can run into those same delays just because if one person can't make it and they're a subcontractor and you just can't control that, you got to wait for them. Then you just have somebody making all those calls and pushing those delays off for you. The delays are still occurring. So there's not much of a way out of that unless you have a bunch of your own employees. And now you go, okay, I can shuffle some things and I can move that electrician just 3 or 4 days because there are employees and maybe we can get that worked out. So when the company is the licensed electrical company also and the building company, and they have their own painting people and they have their own plumbers and they have all the parts and pieces to get 70-80% of this accomplished, our own employees installing the garage door and the opener. So we could get through a project like this pretty much 100% hands-on with our employees. So then there again, if you get a little less likely that you have the issues and the delays, you've got a better chance. You've got an 80-90% chance that you're going to get done in those 2 to 3 weeks and you'll be done on time and you'll be happy and you'll love it and everything will work out. So that's a lot to consider. I definitely invite everybody to check us out. And if you're considering something like that, consider all the alternatives and the different ways to do it, because it might just be the one that works for you and you might love it and investment and everything might be okay. And you're glad that you've looked into it and found out what those potentials are. So that can be a really good thing for everybody out there. So, hey, we're going to get into our middle hour break here, but don't fret. Don't forget to call. I'm here. We've got plenty of time. Lines are wide open. 314-436-7900 finds me, whatever you need on, about, or around your home. We'll do this real quick and more home improvement coming up.
The Voice of St. Louis, News Radio 1120, KMOX.
All right, here we are, Home Improvement Show. Rich Orris in for you today. Got a lot happening, a lot going on, but ready for your conversations, your questions, your DIY projects, what's happening at your home. This show is all about you making your home better, smarter, and just a great place for you to live. What do you need? 314-436-7900. Let me know, and I can help you out with that. So in every week, we really have some great questions that come in and some wonderful conversations. And we had one a couple, two, 3 weeks ago about some brickwork and tuck pointing in our area, in the St. Louis area, which, again, is another one of those extremely common conversations of how do you need to do it? How do you make it last? And how do you get it right? And they are brick on a very old structure, chimneys that are extremely old, that are 70, 80, 90, 100 years old, that are brick, that have stone mixed in, can be even worse. And the more it happens and the older it gets, and with, in our lovely area here in the St. Louis area, the amount of moisture, humidity, condensation that occurs, the temperature differences and the sways in the temperatures that we have in our area, it makes it hard to build, because you have temperature swings that go up for heat and down for cold. So it's hard to construct a house to really battle both of those conditions and to be healthy and good and breathe well and hold back both of those conditions when it's swaying up and or down. But in older homes with masonry, there's a lot of conditions that can go on and inside the walls as the mortar starts to break down. And it happens quite a bit more in the winter than the summer, but the condensation that can occur because that brick mortar structure just absorbs temperature. It just, that cold, when you keep your house at 72 degrees in the middle of the winter and you touch that wall and that wall is very cold, we get a lot of condensation. We see it a lot under chimneys and we see it a lot inside small areas. So we see it under the front porch in the little cellar area, kind of dirty, dingy, not real great, so everybody keeps the door closed. Or we see it in closets, the front coat closets, or a lot of old homes, the closets are just not big walk-in closets. They're regular small closets, and they're like, I'm always getting watermarks and crumbling plaster in the corner or under the chimney. And a lot of times that can just simply be a part of condensation. You could have a leak going on. You could need some tuck pointing. You could have flashing issues are very common. But again, just inside there, you get some space, you get some air, leaking inside that masonry wall. That masonry wall is very cold. It's warm inside. If you have a 2 foot deep closet and you keep that door shut, then you're kind of keeping that cold in there, keeping the warmth in there, absorbing through in the summer, and it just creates these areas where the plaster gets damaged and condensation happens. So it can be a very, very difficult thing to battle. And some of the biggest things I see looking from the outside too at the brick masonry and the stone and everything is even when you have tuck pointing done, oftentimes it's pretty thin. If you go to the backside of the chimney where the roof is, I bring down pieces of tuck pointing all the time that have fallen out between the bricks, and they're about a quarter inch, 3/16, a quarter inch thick. And I'm going, you really need to grind in there, and you want that 5/8 of an inch, more than half to 3/4 of an inch is like the depth you want that tuck pointing to be to have some stability to it. But also in the oldest of the homes and in some of these historic homes in the cities, when they're built on, around, or before like 1930, a lot of those homes, they were laid up with a lot softer mortar. There's a different way to kind of mix up that mortar. It's kind of like the caulk we were talking about with Jim earlier, that it stays a little softer, stays a little more flexible. It lets moisture escape a little more. And then so there's, you got to get the same type of system with that softer brick too. So there's a couple types of mortar. I'm not going to get real super detailed on exactly what that is, but the more historical one's a lot softer, and the newer is a lot stronger, harder, and it can actually, the newer mortar can put stress on the brick itself, and that's when you start to see the faces of the bricks popping off, where you'll see, and they'll just crumble down. You'll see a whole face of the brick that just chunks off, and it's quarter to half inch deep in places of just the smooth brick surface popped right off. And oftentimes that's because you've had rebuilt, new mortar put in, tuck pointing put in. It's a lot harder, stiffer when things are trying to shift, move, and that's a softer brick. It's just popping that brick right off. Some of those bricks were actually originally meant to be inside the wall and not on the outside, and they started putting them on the outside because they wanted to mix up the colors and it looked really cool. And that's some of those orange, like really soft bricks that you see. So what type of mortar you're mixing up and planning to use, it can really mean a lot. And you'll need to try and match the color, the texture, and blend all that to get back to kind of that original look, that original state. But a good mason in St. Louis, they'll know when they look at the home. It goes back to kind of asking those open-ended questions of, hey, what do you do for the mortar? What does my house need for the mortar? And then wait for that answer. And if a couple people are saying, yeah, it's older, you need this, it's a different type. And if a couple are saying, oh, yeah, everything's, we just do this, then you kind of get to know and feel and understand that answer. So don't feed anything in, but just ask it kind of open out there. And they'll know, and the good ones will tell you all about it. They love to educate you on it. They'll do it properly. And your brickwork, it can last another 100 years on top of that. So that's kind of the importance of really interviewing and checking out and getting to a good company and making sure that tuck pointers, brick masons, that's why we lean towards here at Mosby, the actual brick mason work, more so than just the tuck pointing. When the top cap is cracked, we like to take that whole thing off and completely redo it and just renew that entire structure. But hey, we're getting to the last segment here. So we've got a call coming in. If you can kind of stick around here through a really short break, I'll get you in as soon as we return after this. We're going to take a short break. We'll have plenty more in the next segment. And afterwards, in the entire next hour after that, 314-436-7900 is how you get to me. And we'll be right back after this.
You're listening to The Home Improvement Show, sponsored by Mosby Building Arts. Once again, Rich Orris.
$7,900. We were kind of covering that old type mortar, older homes, tuck pointing. I know there's like a type S and a type N today, and there's like a type O, I think it is, for older stuff. But we've got Greg on the line here that I think can kind of summarize some of this up for us. Greg, are you there? Can you help?
I'm always here to help your lovely customers and people are listening. 'Cause I tell you what, when it comes down to mortar, you know, it's crazy.
Yeah.
These old houses were built with sand and lime, and that they're still standing, a lot of those chimneys, those houses. But over the years, you know, like you're talking about the condensation issue of a brick. I mean, a brick can hold almost a half a gallon of water, especially those older red and orange bricks that you were talking about.
Yeah.
And, you know, you got to keep that water out from getting in there. But, you know, when the house is cool inside and hot summers, water is being produced inside the chimney. And then, you know, opposite come wintertime. But, yeah, that lime and sand was used before, but now everybody buys, seems like a lot of the newer guys that don't understand what's going on uses like a type S or a type N mortar. And, you know, it's for tuck pointing. They grind out that lime and they put that harder mortar in there. And that's what causes sometimes that spalding effect, but also could be just from, you know, water in the brick and then it freezes popping off the face of the brick also. But you nailed it right. You nailed it right, Rich, when you said, you know, these, some of these bricks were made for inside and not outside.
Yeah.
And, when it's a southern type brick and it gets that harder face mortar on it, it cracks like crazy. So, you know, just hire a somebody who knows what they're doing, especially make sure they have a mason that's a master mason that understands that. When you do the tuck pointing work or rebuild the chimney, because these older chimneys that just had lime and sand, there's nothing left behind there. I mean, it's all worn out. There's no bond left. The gravity's holding it. We saw that a lot through that tornado areas where chimneys had been redone. They stayed up. The ones that hadn't, it just went over. But the big thing I want to mention about chimneys right now, a lot of these chimneys are blocked. You don't know what's going on inside that flue for your furnace and water heater. Carbon monoxide is a big issue, too, because if that flue doesn't have a liner in it, it's producing water and vapor inside that chimney constantly. So,
yeah, and flue liners, yeah, like you said, that can help control some of that air and get that out properly, and that can even slow down some of those condensations. And it is hard with us to explain some of this sometimes to clients too, because you could have some condensation. You could need a flue liner to help that. You could need some tuck pointing and sealing to help that. There could be a flashing issue, or if you've got where some of it's stone and some of it's brick and it's getting in around there and you need to kind of tuck point and fix some of that up, and how it's built, if it steps out and creates ledges that's going to create areas to let more water in, how it's even designed can pay tribute to that. So a lot of times I'm looking at a chimney with all this water around it going, well, yeah, you fixed it five times because this guy knew about the flue liner and did it, and maybe it helped a little bit, and this guy tuck pointed, but you still had a roofing flashing thing going on, and your tuck point, and so you could fix like eight different leaks on a chimney and still miss two of them, which one being condensation is very hard to stop. So you can minimize the leak from 100% of what you used to see sometimes down to 10 or 20%, and that's almost as good as you can get it at times.
Oh, you're 100% right. And that's what a lot of people do. You're like, oh, I need a new roof. I need my gutters. It's my gutters. Because, somebody, like you said, different businesses promote what they do.
Yeah.
I did a house that was up by Slough up there, 100-year-old house, new slate roof, new copper flashing. They had the chimney, tuck pointed, new gutters, all that stuff done. We came out and did an evaluation with English Sweep here, and we found out that it was all they needed was a liner to their water heater. That's where all the water was, and
yeah,
you know, for less than $1,000, we solved that, and they spent over $1 million trying to do everything else.
Yeah, and that's a great point you bring up, Greg. I appreciate that, because sometimes what we find too is that you've got this old chimney flue and you've got a furnace and a water heater going into it, and then somebody upgrades the furnace to a direct vent, they get this high efficiency thing, they put pipes out, and now you've got something that basically burns and doesn't heat up enough to work with the flue. Can you kind of touch on that for like a minute?
Well, like I can. So basically, you got like a 3-inch, 4-inch water heater now going up a maybe a 10, 12-inch flue.
Yeah.
And it gets up, it has enough buoyancy because the house is warm to get up right around the top of the envelope. I mean, envelope there where the house with chimney exits. And that's where it condensates. They think there's a flashing leak or something else, and it's an interior leak. But the other thing, too, all the storm damage, we were just down there last week. You know, these cooler temperatures, a lot of these chimneys are been wrapped up, covered up, because they need work. They're waiting on roofing. They're waiting on masons to get out there.
Yeah.
And those gases aren't going out. That's carbon monoxide, the silent killer. And we just changed our ad just to address that precisely. So.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that is so important for sure. And I actually have some topics for the next hour that I was going to try and touch on insurance, on the time that it takes to get through all of that and to get the right people, and just how cumbersome that can be for homeowners trying to get through that. I've seen so much of it myself in the past 6 months, 8 months, basically this year, of just taking absolutely forever to get your work done. And yeah, you definitely don't want a chimney covered up while you come into heat and running heat and hot water heater trying to go up there, and that is catastrophic for sure.
But I just want to say thank you. I mean, hey, it's always great to hear your voice and hear you get time off and come back with all that energy. You're awesome.
Yeah. Hey, Greg, appreciate it. And I'll tell you, for everybody that didn't quite hear it, this is actually a good buddy of mine here, Greg Boss from English Sweep. We were just in a radio meeting yesterday, and Todd at our office is going to be getting a hold of you about getting you on maybe later, either this month or early November or something like that, to come on as a guest so we could talk about the Fire Safety Month and all that important stuff with chimneys and fireplaces and everything that goes along with it. So, Greg, I appreciate you calling in and clarifying some of that for us. A lot of times I know enough to be dangerous, and that's why I was like, I'm not going to try and explain the actual types. Just know and understand the difference and be able to kind of protect yourself as a homeowner. That's the goal, is just at least we get enough information for these homeowners to spread and ask enough questions and to understand, like, get deeper into it and really try and help figure out. And when you hear someone that really knows what they're doing, like Greg and some of these other, even tuck pointers, brick masons, all that, when you start to talk to some that know what they're doing, you'll really start to learn and understand by their answers that you they get it, and you'll feel comfortable and you'll want to use them. So that's awesome. Thanks, Greg, for the call. We're going to get into our long news break here next hour. Plenty for everybody. Don't forget to call in 314-436-7900.